Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Christians in America are rapidly becoming like Daniel and his friends in Babylon, out of sync with their pagan environment. How do we reconcile what we believe with what we have to do to live in such a culture? Today, the answers. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us to the book of Daniel for a look at conflicts of conscience.
Today's topic is conflicts of conscience. We've all experienced it, I'm sure. And there are several sources where these conflicts come from. First of all, they may come from the state. They may come from laws that are enacted. For example, here's a question. Should an organization run on Christian principles have to buy into a national health care program, whereby if they do that, some of the money that they will be spending will go to abortion, whether or not it is through drugs or the procedure, when the conviction of those who believe the Bible is that life begins at conception? Is that a violation of religious conscience? Or I think, for example, of Elaine Photography over there in New Mexico. And she and her studio refused to take pictures in a same-sex wedding. And as many of you know, they ran afoul of the law and all of those things that happened, the fines that were levied, etc., and the laws that have been enacted. It's a conflict of conscience that sometimes comes to us because of society and because of society's laws. And then at times there are conflicts of conscience because of where we find ourselves in the workforce. I wish I had time to talk to many of you who are in the professional world. I'm sure that you have conflicts of conscience on a regular basis. Sometimes you may be asked to participate in something that you know right well is dishonest. How do you handle a conflict of conscience? And then we can speak personally, can't we? Just in the last couple of weeks, I received an email and a letter from two mothers, separate mothers. One was asking whether or not she should go to the wedding of her son, who is marrying a woman who is part of a cult. And this woman's father has a great emphasis and authority in this cult. A second was from a same-sex wedding where the family was going through the agony. She said, "My daughter is marrying her same-sex partner, and part of my family thinks that we should go because if not, we lose our relationship with the couple." She said, "But I don't feel as if I should." A conflict of conscience. Well, that's our topic today. And you know, when you think of society at large, and by the way, I hope that in this message I don't scare up more rabbits than I'm able to shoot, because these things can get very complicated, but I believe we're going to be helped on our journey. There are three different ways that we can respond to the culture when it becomes pagan. One way is, of course, to oppose the culture continually, to stand against everything that we see happening, and oftentimes to do so with anger, and we can become angry evangelicals. Angry because our freedoms are being taken away, angry because of this, angry because of that, and so we are opposed to culture. There's another way that we can respond, and that is to assimilate, to simply go with the stream and not have an argument about it and say that somebody has to live, we all have to live, and so the culture is pushing us in one direction, and then love would dictate we go along with the culture, because after all, we're to love everybody, and to oppose anything seems to be bad business. There is a third view. The third view is to take into account culture, to go along with culture, not in anger, but as far as you possibly can, and then draw the line and say, "This far, but no further." And so you draw a line, but you go into the culture, You take as much of the culture with you as you can because you want to minister to the culture, but at the same time, you do have convictions and you know where that line is drawn. The passage of scripture that I have before me, and I hope it's before you as well, is Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, now let's get the context, and I hope that you were here for the message last time. Because last time we pointed out that God had led the exiles into Babylon. So now they no longer had security. They no longer had oneness of outlook and culture and religion. Suddenly they were without a temple and they were in the middle of a pagan culture. And God said to them, be sure to build houses, plant vineyards, bless the city. Bless the city, and you'll be blessed in turn. Seek the shalom of the city. Be involved in the culture. And now in Daniel chapter 1, because Daniel was one of the exiles, we finally see for ourselves what it looks like for those who follow God in a pagan culture. I'm going to pick it up actually in verse 3. And the reason is because verses 1 and 2 just give the background I gave you, how that there were these exiles in Babylon, 600 miles from Jerusalem. It says, then the king commanded Ashpenaz, that was his chief of staff, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, and learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and the command was, teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, of the tribe of Judah, just to the end of verse 6 so far. Notice what the king of Babylon, and he wasn't a nice king. Remember, we're talking about the man who would take babies, whose soldiers took babies and threw them against the rocks, actually. He's not a very nice man, cruel, but he sees that the Jews have among them youths that are very brilliant and wise, and he wants to use them in his court. So he has a program of forced assimilation. Before we look at how Daniel stood against the culture, let's look at all of the ways in which he participated in the culture. In fact, those ways might actually surprise us, the aspects in which he went along with the culture. First of all, in education. I just read it a moment ago. They were to be educated for 3 years in the literature of Babylon. They'd have to learn the Babylonian language, Akkadian. What an experience that would be. And so they'd be inundated with all kinds of pagan ideas regarding sexuality, regarding the meaning of life, all of the wisdom, the mythology of Babylon. They would have to educated, almost brainwashed, with this kind of education for 3 years. They accepted that because they believed that they could endure that kind of an education without losing their faith. And I believe that the reason that they thought that they could do that and did do it without losing their faith is because of the resolve that they had to maintain their faith. This is a parenthesis, but I am convinced that the reason that so many teenagers, and teenagers you listen at this point, and college students, the reason that so many lose their faith in university or college is not because of the intellectual arguments. It's because of the moral issues, the moral pressure, the peer pressure, the falling into sexuality and having guilt and not knowing how to deal with it. This past week, I was in a number of places, actually. It's a good thing that I'm young because I can still get around. But one place I was, actually, was in New Brunswick, Canada, of all things, for a day at a church for a pastor's conference, and Rebecca spoke to the women. And so at lunch, there was a young woman who works with InterVarsity, so I asked whether or not she agreed with my assessment, and she said, unquestionably. Young people lose their resolve the moral pressure is so strong that pretty soon if they fall morally, then they find all kinds of intellectual reasons why they are abandoning Christianity. That's not to say that the intellectual aspect isn't important, but they go together. These youths, four of them, God bless them, said we can be in the educational institution of Babylon and maintain our faith. Secondly, it's not just that, but they accepted careers in the government. They were going to stand before the king, this wicked king who had done so much damage to their culture, whose armies destroyed Jerusalem on his command, and they were now going to stand before him and give him wisdom and help him be successful. They were willing to accept that they would stand before the king in his presence and help him rule. Third, and this is again remarkable, they accepted the name change. Now you'll notice that the Bible says there, and now I am in verse 7, he gave them names, Daniel, and the name Daniel, by the way, means that God is my judge. He changed his name to Belshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. Azariah he called Abednego. So they have pagan names. Every one of these names, I won't take time to tell you the meaning of each, but every one of these names that the Jewish boys had signified in some way God, God's favor. Now they're receiving Babylonian names, and they said, we can endure that too, because we're to bless the culture and seek the shalom of our city. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and certainly I want you to listen to the next part of this message here on Running to Win in the next broadcast. Because what we will understand much better when we hear that is the fact that these youths were able to go so far into the pagan culture, but there was a point at which they were willing to lay down their lives for the sake of their faith in God. The reason I preach this message is that I know that all of us need wisdom in this world. We need to understand that we have conflicts of conscience too. Some of you go to a workplace where there is dishonesty. The question is, how do you live for Christ with integrity in the midst of a situation like that? Well, God gave wisdom to these three young men, and he's able to give wisdom to us. The bottom line from my heart to yours today is this: God does grant us the grace and the wisdom to live in the midst of a pagan society. So don't be discouraged simply because everything around you seems to be falling apart. There is someone within you, if you are a believer, who will hold you up, grant you what you need to live for him in the midst of this world.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Conflicts of Conscience, the eighth message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, the character of four Jews in a foreign land. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.